This podcast brought to you by Seats R Us. For a seat to suit, it has to be Seats R Us. Seatsrus.com.au.
Now we have Dr. Jonathan Leach on the line to give us our daily COVID update. Good
morning, Tari. Good morning, Drew. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're amazing,
good. How
mate.
How are you?
Good, good.
That's good.
Another donut day for us, is it?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Delicious.
We're happy about that.
But it was a total donut day, hey? Like, there was no hotel quarantine ones either.
No, I don't believe so. So that's
wow.
Fabulous.
Look at us moving up.
It's good. And, you know, I think we said yesterday, probably settled out of this cluster outbreak. But I think, you know, we do still have to keep in mind that Delta is a pretty tough nut to crack, and New South Wales has rising number of cases. So the chances are something will slip across the border or, you know, out of hotel quarantine again. I don't mean to be a pessimist, but I think
realist.
No, you're a realist, mate. No, that's fine. That's fine.
Now, can you comment on the new hotel quarantine facility? Well, not hotel, but quarantine facility.
Oh, is there a new? I didn't know about this.
The one at the Army.
Oh,
the Pinkenba.
Yeah,
yeah. I only heard stuff a couple of weeks ago about that getting going. As far as I understand, it's going to take some time, and it's sort of next year that it will get be ready to go. Unless they've brought things forward, but yeah, that it'll kind of be out of house a couple of thousand, but sort of the first rollout will be limited numbers, and then they'll build from there. So
what's the gist of that? So that's obviously having it near Pinkenba is obviously the airport's right there. People getting off go straight into that quarantine there. Is it a bit more freedom, do you know, Dr. Jonathan, if it's like, as in, do they get to go outside? Like, is that the reason why they're doing it there?
Yeah, I think there'll be a few reasons. It's that kind of purpose built, so it's that, you know, both for the comfort of people going into it, but also importantly, the reducing transmission. So, you know, the way that the setup is, and you know, people not passing in corridors and negative pressure rooms and that kind of thing. I would imagine that's sort of all part of that planning process. And I think it might be more for people coming from high risk countries will be prioritised to go to that facility. I'm not sure that it will have the capacity to cover everyone who needs to go into quarantine. But I guess by then we'll probably have people from low risk areas, perhaps who are vaccinated, able to home quarantine. So it will kind of depend a bit on what's going on at the time.
So that'll be more for, obviously, like you said, the high risk areas from overseas. And those people that are working at that Pinkenba are dedicated to that area. And is it more?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, is it a little bit better too for it to be? Obviously, these, I think they're dongers. They're like little dongers. Is that what they're talking about it being like? Being in an open air instead of stuck in a hotel, is that less transmission? To give less transmission as well.
Yeah, I don't know individual dongers, but certainly there's sort of blocks of accommodation, is what I understand. So, but yeah, having more opportunity to be outdoors. I'm not sure exactly what that looks like. I haven't sort of seen plans, but yeah, I imagine there's, rather than people stuck in hotel rooms. But I guess, you know, it's a kind of comfort thing, isn't it? And Howard Springs, I think, has been pretty successful in terms of that. I heard yesterday that the dance troupe from Bangarra were up there quarantining to get from Sydney back to here to do their, you know, their set in Brisbane. And just that was much better for them to be able to get out on verandas and you know, practice sort of together, separate but together, and that kind of thing.
They're obviously in their own little, you know, squares or whatever they are, because I think I'm seeing some of the Aussies who have come back from Tokyo being in a similar facility. They have their own like room, and they've got a balcony, but they are still being able to go outside on that little balcony in their little square, you know, obviously 2 meters square, I think it is, and do exercise together. I mean, that seems a bit more humane, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. 2 weeks is a long time to just be stuck there. So, the more we can make it better for people, while it still has to keep going, But that's a good thing.
Dude, has there been any talk, Dr. Jonathan, you might not know this as well, but thought I'd ask you the question. Any talk still about going, obviously there's going to be, it seems like the chat and the talk around town is that there will be vaccinated travel overseas to certain occupied areas, like certain areas. Has there been conversation about if you are vaccinated, you won't have to quarantine when you come home, or if you are vaccinated, you still have to quarantine when you come home?
Or at least at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, definitely the home quarantine. If you've gone to a low-risk country, you're vaccinated, and you come back, then you can get down the track. It might not be too far away, hopefully, but you can home quarantine instead of hotel quarantine, which is obviously a massive difference, you know, both cost-wise as well as comfort. So, I think there'll be a big incentive. I'm just not sure how easy it'd be to leave the country unless you've got an essential kind of reason to if you're not vaccinated. But certainly coming back in, and if people have come from overseas who have been living over there or something and they're vaccinated, that's a kind of big incentive to be vaccinated, to come home and home quarantine.
Absolutely.
So do you think from a doctor's point of view, 2022 is, you know, is that in sight for all the people? Look, I'm in one of I'm in the boat. My wife's obviously Canadian and hasn't been home for coming December. It'll be 7 years. Is that sort of in the reach to 2022 of being able to fly?
Yeah, look, I think so. I mean, Australia is looking pretty good to have been able to offer anyone who wants a vaccine to over age of 16 by the end of the year. So with all the new vaccine supplies coming through, so I think 2022 will be in a much different position. We may still have, you know, we're thinking about what age of kids and approvals and that kind of thing. So that might be the first half of 2022 as well. But yeah, look, I think sometime 2022, I'd be hoping that there's some travel we can do. Maybe not open up to everywhere you want to go.
But chosen places that Australia obviously have a bubble with and they talk to. Do you think some of those places, I know I'm asking more, will be a Commonwealth, or are they just looking for closer places so far?
I don't know for sure. No, I don't think it's necessarily closer places. So I think it's about the risk in what's happening with COVID in those spots. So, I think that'll be more what's being looked at. Obviously, places like New Zealand are going great guns. They haven't had a community case for more than 100 days. And other countries will be, that's probably the extreme of how good you can be at the moment with this Delta strain. And even places that have good vaccination rates, like Canada, still have some cases coming through. And I think that's, with Delta, that's probably what we've got to accept, is that vaccinations are not going to stop all cases. It does a really good job of stopping people end up in hospital and getting really sick from COVID, and that's the main benefit we're going to be relying on. And it reduces cases by some amount, certainly. But, yeah, I think to expect vaccination to completely fix cases happening across the world, we probably have to learn to live with COVID a bit. It's going to be transmitting, but hopefully lower rates and much less people getting sick from it.
And on the back of that, infants, like babies, what are the chances of them getting it and passing it on? Like, what's obviously just, I've got a 6-month-old, and probably a lot of people out there who have got, you know, newborns. What's the etiquette, I suppose, with them? I mean, you know, at the moment, me and my wife are still taking, you know, we're still going to the shops, obviously, with my son, and we're wearing masks, but he's not. Yep. What's for everyone out there who doesn't understand that, including myself, what does that look like for babies?
Good question. And certainly the Delta strain has changed that with kids being able to get infected more readily and probably pass it on as well. For young babies, not so sure. I think I haven't sort of seen data on that. But I guess what you've got to think about with the mask wearing, for example, that's much more protecting others from infection from you.
Yep.
So, I wouldn't be as worried about bubs sort of being in the pram without a mask on, that they're at increased risk of contracting COVID. Their probably biggest risk is parents to be honest, bringing it home and passing it on. But so far, still not crazy kind of serious sickness in kids. But that's something they're still looking at. So, look, I think, the short thing is it's not something to be alarmed about, but realise that kids, like most coughs and colds, they're often the main transmitter, and it's looking like they might turn out to be that going forward for COVID.
All right, and just quickly before we let you go, Melbourne and Sydney. Melbourne got an extended lockdown till September, which, I mean, in theory is only a couple of weeks away, depending on what date they've set. But can you comment on Melbourne and Sydney for us?
Yeah, so, Melbourne, I think the concern there is just that there's a bunch of different chains of transmission. So it's not sort of where in Brisbane we had one chain of transmission. Yeah, we ended up with 150-odd cases, but down there, they've got this kind of 10 or more, I think. So that's sort of probably the main reason for the extended lockdown to get under control. And then I think they've got curfews and different things. Sort of the lockdown's even a bit tougher, back to similar to last year. So that's Melbourne. But hopefully that does get things knocked back. They haven't got the massive case numbers like Sydney. Sydney and I guess regional New South Wales having increasing case numbers. Still, so I think we'll probably hit 500 in the next couple of days per day. I don't think it's going to go down before. I think it'll go up before it goes down. There. The other new news is that Darwin had a case last, I think, and so they're in lockdown for. I think Anne Catherine are in lockdown for 3 days. So, and then Canberra's also had extended lockdown by another 2 weeks with some extra cases.
Yeah,
there.
60 degree heat will kill that one. I'm pretty sure it's that hot up there. It's not even funny, mate. We really made you earn your money today. Thank you so much for joining us again, and we'll talk to you same time tomorrow.
Yeah, very welcome. Have a great day.
See you, mate.
This podcast brought to you by Seats R Us. For a seat to suit, it has to be Seats R Us. SeatsRUs.com.au.